it on our Father. We bring our appreciation to you once again for being alive in our right senses. Lord, we are grateful to you. Thank you for making it possible for us to witness another Sunday, having seen us through this past week. Thank you for your cares. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your provision, your protection, jolly mercies that you granted to those who traveled, Lord, long and short distances. Thank you for the blessings of your word. We are grateful to you. Thank you for your healing hands upon the sick. We are grateful. We bless you. We want to thank you also for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which you promised to pour upon your people. Lord, we are grateful for your faithfulness to your promises. We are here in your house this morning because you are bidding us to come. And we are in expectations of your blessings, which we know you will not call us to come in vain. Lord, dear Father, we pray, gracious Lord, that you prepare our hearts as we have committed ourselves to you. Lord, Master, that as you have determined to bless us, may we also be determined to be blessed, Lord, by cooperating with you. We know you don't force anything on any man. Lord, you have placed us upon the platform of free moral agency, and we have to exercise our choice, Lord, whether we want to be blessed or not. But Lord, I believe there is nobody that has left this or our house, coming to the house of God this morning, who comes for just to be seen, or for any other reason outside of being blessed of God, outside of being transformed and being made better, Lord, that we have come. Father, we pray that this will be accomplished in our lives. Help us, Father, send down your presence. Gracious Lord, that we inspire faith in our heart. Lord, from now until the service of the day we end, Master, may you give us a wonderful time. Give us grace to key into your blessings. Have your way in our lives, Father. Let nothing stand between us and you. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us by your blood, Father. Thank you. We thank you for your blood that is ever living, ever true, ever potent, making intercession for your people. We bless you, Father. As we commit ourselves to you, praying that you will have your way and glorify thy holy name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. As we continue with the Sunday school lesson. Second Peter chapter 3. We'll read from verse 1 to the end. When we get to halfway, we can sit down, and then we go to Revelation chapter 21 also.
I read
2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by their holy prophets and of the commandments of all the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise as men. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Can we have our seat as we continue? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements are met with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Revelation 21, from verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Praise be to God. I've forgotten that I was to read to verse 7. By the grace of God, we continue with the topic, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. This is our third week. So we'll be moving forward this morning. We try to establish the fact that the message that we are following today is not the theology of any man. It's not the idea of a group of people. It's not the opinion of an educated man who just came up with something to impress the world. We are convinced beyond any reasonable doubt that we are following the right road, that this is the program of God. This is in line with the fulfillment of the scripture that God has promised for the end time. Praise be to God. Now, we want to start looking at this. We want to look at the earth as a creation of God. By this topic and the scriptures that we have read, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, the prophet said we might be led to think that the earth and the heavens will be destroyed. and so, but it's not so. Because a new heaven and a new heart is coming, it does not necessarily mean that this present heart will be destroyed completely. But by the grace of God, step by step, we will follow. So looking at the heart as a creation, it is very, very important. The prophet told us that in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1 to 31, that was the story of the creation. Because when we want to talk about the heavenly bridegroom, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, the earthly bride, the heavenly bridegroom, their future home. One is in heaven, the other one is on earth. And then we're talking about their future home. Where will their future home be? Where will it be? The prophet said it's going to be right here on the earth. Right here on the earth. Praise be to God. And so we understand that God created this earth in 6 days. And after 7 days, after the 6 days, the seventh day, he rested and blessed the seventh day. And, you know, God continued. Now the prophet made us to know that when God created this earth, that all the elements that form our body, the calcium, the potash, the petroleum, and the cosmic light, that God put them on this earth when God created this earth. And which makes us part of this earth. So we are part of this earth. Praise be to God. And all of our bodies that we live in paragraph 69, of the future home. And all of our bodies that we live in now were put on the earth when God created it. Because you are out of the dust of the earth, it was all laid out here. When God himself created it, you are in his thinking and in him. The great eternal was the thought, which is his attributes. In the paragraph 440, Proverbs says something similar. In Revelation 21, verse 3, verses 3 and 4, the tabernacle of God is with man. God had tabernacled in man by redeeming him by these three processes. Now, God is going to just follow me as I just want to pick this aspect there, but I have to read the entire place. By redeeming him by these three processes, now God is going to redeem the earth and tabernacle in the earth with his subjects of the earth, which he brought forth from the earth, you and myself. And through sin it fell, he had to let it go on. But now he sent Jesus to redeem that fallen earth, which we are part of. You see? There is not one hair of your head will perish. Jesus said so. He said, I will raise it up again at the last day. See why? You are a part of the earth. It's important that we understand that, that we are part of this earth. And we also, being part of God, made us special people. Amen. Let me read a few things also here as we move forward. I'm reading from let me see. Proving his words. Paragraph 149. A virgin did conceive, and she brought forth the baby, proof that his prophet's word was the truth. He always stands by them. This son of the virgin was the word made flesh. Now, St. John chapter 1, if you want to read that, St. John chapter 1. This prophet, proving his word, there are two parts. I didn't remember to mention that. I will have called the year for you.
Thank you
for getting it. This prophet too. But this son of the virgin was the word made manifest, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, the whole heart is God's creation. but it is lost. See? Then he redeemed this heart, and you are a part of the heart. And he redeems you by the same way he redeems the whole heart. Amen. All right. In the sermon, God's provided place of worship. Paragraph 221. As I said the other day, when God moved and struck the sun across the earth, he knowed them palm trees and everything was laying down under the earth. They were part of the earth all the time. So were you. Amen. Now, the prophet had a reason for telling us that we are part of the earth. Because the same process that God has that he has taken God to redeem us, is the same process he has taken to redeem the earth. Us. Because we are going to live on the earth. So the same process of water baptism after repentance, of sanctification, of Holy Ghost baptism that we went through to become God's tabernacle. It's the same process that the earth is also going to go through before God will come and tabernacle there. Before his tabernacle, we descend upon the earth, as read in Revelation chapter 21. Praise be to God. And then here, the prophet emphasized to us, very, very important, that God has used three stages of this earth. That there are three stages of this earth, and in this emphasis, the prophet dwells so much on the infallibility of God. He dwells so much on the infinity of God, that God is infinite. Now, God being infinite is so deep, as we go through it this morning. Paragraph 73 of Future Hope. We are following it in process. Here the apostle in 2 Peter chapter 3, where we have just read the fifth and the sixth verse. Yes, the prophecy got it refers to three stages of the earth. If you follow it when we are reading it. Let's read it. Second Peter. So that way. Verses 5 and 6. For this day, willingly. Okay, let me read from verse 4. And saying, where is the promise? Scoffers now. Is the scoffers. Scoffers will come in the last days. Because the problem with the people is that, I think that is a usual expression. Something like that. I know people say it, and because of that, they want to take vengeance on their own of anyone that has offended them. And anyone who hides under such expression, you are disbelieving God's word. You are saying that if God says it's coming 20 years, it's not going to come in 20 years. That is not reliable. The scoffers had same idea, even worse idea than that. And they are saying, as we read, knowing this first, verse 3, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Not after God's word. After their own lusts. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? What he has promised that is coming back, where is it? Now, of recent, we had one of the Roman Catholic Church saying that Jesus Christ perhaps must have been drunk. Must have been drunk when he made the promise that was coming back. And that, you know, he must be busy doing some other things in heaven. So, for him coming is not a reality. It's not a reality. You can imagine a church that claims to associate with God. Of course, we know what Roman Catholic Church is. But that church is deceiving the world. They believe them, and they believe us. Who are you in the first place? Who knows you?
A little group like this, who knows us there? They don't know us. We are not reckoned with. And that is why when the NYSC wanted to take decision about issue of trousers, they consulted the big churches. Who are the believers? Who do they know us to be? They consulted Adeboye, they consulted Oyedepo, they consulted Kumuyi. Those are the big churches in the nation. And those are the people that felt that if there should be any Christianity, they should know more about it than anybody. But do they know any more about that? They are problems to God and to his program. The scoffers, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers, the scoffers are saying that since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. People are being born, people are dying. One generation goes, another generation comes. That's the usual saying of the people. The one generation goes, one generation comes. And that is how the earth will continue. There is no judgment. That's what the scoffers say.
Okay?
For this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, that word of God that made the promise of the coming of God, God that made the promise of judgment that is coming, it is that same God through his word that he created this earth. So Peter was reminding the brethren as they started it in the first, in verse 1 there. He said, this epistle, second epistle, beloved, and I write unto you, in both which has stirred up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. The apostles also spoke it about it. For this day, willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. As we have in Genesis. The heavens were of old. It is all of God that created it. Hold the first, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's the first half. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Second stage of the earth. Reserve unto fire against the day of judgment and partition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. The Lord, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, there is coming another one. This present, the past world, which was destroyed with water in Genesis, as we saw it. And that was the reason that first world, that first act was destroyed. And we know what the prophet said about that. It was sin that caused it. God did not just come and say, oh, I want to destroy this place. It was sin that led to it. And the same sin has continued in this second half that we are in today. And the third one is the one that is promised, and make a new heaven and a new earth. Praise be to God. Alright, that's 73. Here the apostle, in 2 Peter chapter, we have read that, so verse 74, the old world stood out of the water, now that was the antediluvian. Now the one that is the present world we live in now, call it a war. The old world that stood out of water, Genesis 1, now and the world that is not present, and then again it refers to another one, the world that is to come. You see, the new world, three worlds, three stages of the world. And notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, praise be to God. How God makes it plain his plan of these three stages of the earth is a process of redemption. The first earth was baptized with water. The second one that we are in was sanctified by the blood of Jesus. The one that is coming For it to inhabit God, for the new one to come, has to receive Holy Ghost. Has to receive Holy Ghost fire.
Are you following me? Are you following me? Are you following me? Let me repeat what I say here, because I have a reason why I've asked the question.
And now, how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption.
His plan of redemption is in three stages. Justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism. This water baptism, this by the blood, this Holy Ghost fire. The first half went through water baptism. That's what the prophet is calling our attention. The same process that you went through after repentance. The second one was when the blood of Jesus was shed on the earth, sanctifying it. The half. The prophet said the same process that we, the part of the earth, that we went through, is the same process the act that we are going to live in is also going through.
And then for this, for God to come and tabernacle in it,
just like before he tabernacles in you and me,
he sends Holy Ghost fire
upon it.
Three stages. Okay?
And notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, this just trees my soul when I saw it. How he makes plain to us here. Now he plan his plan of redemption. Now compare what we see with our own eyes. With God has done to redeem his world. He has done the same plan to redeem his people. You see? For his unchangeable God changes not in any of his plans or anything. Such a glorious thing. How he led us to himself, to tabernacle in us, by three stages of grace. Just like he's led the world in three stages to come to the world. As God will come to the world after he's gone through the three different stages of purification, that is exactly how he comes to us through three stages of grace. You see, I taught that at the beginning. I have never changed since. It is God's word. You have to keep your theories together. Your sevens, your twelves, the numerics of the Bible must run perfect, or you will get your picture all mixed up. And it takes a prophet to do that. And anyone who follows the prophet will also do that. Outside of the prophet, you come out confused because you see some numerics, numerations and the rest of it in the Bible that you cannot align together. You have to come back to the prophet and see the way he places them. And when you follow the prophet, then you are going to come right.
Praise be to God.
Notice the old world, the antediluvian, the world that's the world that is present now. That's the second one. The old world, the antediluvian, that's one. The world that is present now and the one to come. Three stages. Now, first stage that he has brought us, see, his plan of redemption is exactly the same by everything. He uses the same method. He never changes. He said in Malachi 3, I am God and I change not. The way he does see, therefore, if he saved the first man he ever saved by the shed blood of an innocent one, he will have to save the next one. And everyone he saves will have to be the same way.
No wonder the Bible says that there is no variation with God and neither any shadow of turning.
If he heal a man at any time through the journey of life, let it be in the days of Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, whenever it was, that is time. If God ever heal a man at any time, when the same conditions are met, he has got to do it again. That is right. It doesn't change. Same condition.
And then we see here that it is now up to us to understand the conditions
under which God did something for somebody in the past.
And then we walk towards that condition also.
Because God has bound himself by that promise that he remains the same. That every time a condition is met, upon which he met the need of another person in the past, if that same condition is met, then he will come on the scene.
Do we understand?
In other words, our God does not change. The prophet said, man changes, time changes, ages change. Age changes, dispensation changes, but God remains the same. He is perfect. What a hope that ought to give the sick people. To let you know if God is a man on the basis of a certain thing, on a certain condition, if another man comes under the same condition, he's going to heal that person. If it's a woman, whatsoever God has done for anybody in the past, and God does it. If the same condition is met, he will do it today again. For Holy Ghost baptism, if the condition under which a man was filled, the Holy Spirit then is met today, the same person who has met that condition will also receive the Holy Ghost baptism. It is a condition that we have to understand. If a man in the past was blessed on a certain basis, and if the same basis is met today, the person should expect to be blessed of God.
For our God does not change.
The prophet is projecting this before us. Because this is the way we can walk with God. This is the way we can relate with him. This is the way we can be happy. And this is the way we can have confidence and total reliance upon the God that we call upon.
Praise be to God.
What a hope that gives the sick people. If he ever heal a person, he has to do it again. When the same conditions are met. If he ever save a man, he has got to do it on the same condition he did it the first time. If he ever fill a man with the Holy Ghost, he's got to do it on the same ground he did it the first time. Holy Ghost seekers, you can hear that. Then, who is on the waiting side? Are you the one on the waiting side, or God is the one on the waiting side? Answer that question. It is God that is waiting.
You are not the one waiting. Because God is waiting for you to meet that condition.
Is God waiting for you to come to until that condition is met? God will fold his hands. Because he's bound by his word. And you have to walk to that level. You have to understand that condition. Which we are not ignorant of. It has always been said and repeated. There is no time any minister stands there that those conditions are not repeated.
May the Lord be our help.
He's got to do it on the same ground he did the first time. If he ever raised a man up from the grave, he's got to do it the same time and every other time on the same principle. And this is very, very important. God is the author of life. Now, when somebody falls down and he dies, if God wants that person back to life, it doesn't take gimmick. It doesn't take gimmick. The people can pray about it. People will pray. If God wants the person to raise, the person will come up. But if the person is not going to raise, it is not to now feel that there is no power of God in the church. And that is why the dead are not raised. Those people who are dying, they keep burying. They cannot even pray over that. Everything is done by the inspiration of the Almighty God.
That is the restoration of life. Brother Way. Let me just chip you this in before the time is over.
Brother Way. When Brother Way, in the course of the preaching, passed out,
it was not Brother Abraham that woke the brother. Something told Brother Abraham to go. And then Brother Abraham said he was waiting for God to know what to do. Brother Abraham did not just go there and say, because he had the power to heal. Remember, they shall lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover.
There is the power in the believer to raise the dead.
Because the Holy Spirit is life that dwells in the believer. Now the prophet had to wait for God to give him instruction to go. And that was why the prophet told him that if God will tell me that George Washington will come to life, he said, I will tell the world. Is that because I know George Washington is going to race? Why did Abraham not go to George Washington's grave and go and pray for George Washington to come up? Why?
God determines it. And that we must recognize there is nothing God cannot do.
Whatever God wants done, He will anoint the person with the faith that is required. He might not be in the church, he might be elsewhere, anywhere. And he might be in the church. He will do it to the glory of His holy name. God bless you. Bless.
Shall we pray? Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you very much for your word that has gone forth in the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. We thank you, O God, for the portion that we have had this morning. We are asking for understanding for everyone. We are asking for revelation for everyone. Dear Lord, may this not be a head knowledge to any of us. There is a reason and a purpose why you gave it to the prophet to give to the church. And that is, O God, to create tasks in each one. Lord, to be able to know how to be prepared to receive life and be a partaker of that first class seed that you have gone to prepare. May we not miss the purpose of it. May we be a partaker of it, O God. We pray, O Lord, that as we go through it day by day, may your spirit expatiate it to everyone. Bless this to our heart. Bless your servant that you have used to bring your word this morning. May you be strength and lead all the honor of his ministry. As we commit the rest of the services into your hand. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.